Jocker wrote a song.
This is Will Hauck with KNBC, and we're chatting with Ray Bonneville. The new record sounds really good. I really like it. Can you tell us a little bit about the record, the recording process, and the focus of your songwriting this time around?
Well, okay, sure. Hi, Will. Nice to talk with you, and thanks for calling me. Yeah, you know, this record is different from the others in a few different senses. You know, the writing is different. Every album is different. I never know what to expect. I just go at it, you know, the way that I normally do, but invariably the writing and the recording process is always a little bit different. On this one, I went in with two good friends of mine, Richie Lawrence on piano and accordion. He's a very good friend of mine that I used to play in a band with him in the 70s back in Boulder, Colorado, when we had lost sight of one another for a while and got caught up a few years ago and started playing together. So he's playing keyboards. And the son of another friend of mine, Spencer Boren, his son, his name is Andre Boren. He plays drums on it. Richie and I went to New Orleans and played a little bit with him, and we got a good vibe. So we went in the studio, not too rehearsed, and laid down the tracks, you know, a little bit unsure of how we were going to play the songs, just communication in one room, live off the floor, and we got some very, very good vibes, very, very nice recordings out of it, and I feel great about it. We worked with my engineer, Justin Douglas, here at King Electric Studios in Austin, and he's done other records with me, so I felt like I was in good hands.
You know, I hear a lot of divergent musical influences in the songs, and then I'd love to hear a little bit more about some of your musical influences.
Well, what do you hear in there, Will?
Lots of blues, for sure, just kind of Americana, folky kind of stuff. I'm trying to remember the name of the guy who made Poke Salad Annie.
Tony Joe White.
Yeah, that it reminded me a lot of him. So.
Tony Joe White is for sure one of my influences. You know, he just passed away about, I don't know, 4 or 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And he had just played in town here, and wasn't long after that that he passed away. But yeah, he was one of my influences. I really liked his really swampy approach. I'm influenced by a whole bunch of different people, Will, but among them, Slim Harpo, I think, was an influence of Tony Joe's. He had to have been.
Mm-hmm.
I'm influenced by J.J. Cale. I'm influenced by Hank Williams Sr. I'm influenced by a whole slew of blues folks, both acoustic players and electric players. But by and large, I'm influenced these days by really good songwriters. I liked early stuff that Lucinda Williams put out.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, anything that moves me, you know, that I believe, I'm influenced by. I'm a big fan of stark writing. I like to write about people who live on the edge of society. They interest me. I played blues for some 20 years without doing it the way I heard it on the records. I just kind of did it my own way. And then I started writing songs in the early 1990s. And I already had this kind of bluesy guitar style and harmonica style. But these days, I don't really consider myself to be a blues man. I consider more like the music is influenced by blues, but by so many other things. Some of those things would be like, you know, the road, the different kinds of people that I meet, the people that live on the edge of society, the human emotion, you know. And the way I write the songs is I like to leave room for the listener to put in their own detail. I don't put in a whole lot of detail. I just sort of sketch the story and allow the listener to put his or her own details in there so that they can consider the song to be theirs. You know, I want it to be their song. It's not my song. It's the listener's song. So I'm always cognizant of that and thinking about that when I'm writing.
The opening track is called "Waiting on the Night," and it's it seems very soulful and kind of mournful to me. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about where that song came from.
Long before daylight, the southbound cries, moving through the darkness, soothing empty hearts, waiting on the night, the dark blue night.
Well, you know, I'm a night guy. I live at night. I rarely go to bed before like 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm just more comfortable at night, and I think a lot of people are. And I think at night, you know, emotions and feelings are more likely to be pronounced. The character in that song, he's somewhere. I'm not sure where he is. The listener knows where he is, but you know, he hears a train going by far off, and he's somewhere where he's alone, and he's got a some kind of a relationship has happened, and he's thinking about it, and some things didn't get said, and he wished they had been said, he's just pondering on his state, you know, right mm-hmm. now. It's loosely written so that the listener can put themselves in the shoes of the character, and you get the feeling of a motel by the side of the road, or maybe a cabin out in the country. You know, you get the feeling of you could see a light on, and you can see maybe somebody smoking a cigarette or you know, having a drink late at night and thinking about, you know, his life or something. Right. His or her life. It's not necessarily a guy, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's kind of where my head was going with that song.
Oh, good. I did my job.
Cool. The song "Codeine" talks about issues of addiction, and kind of personifies that. I was wondering if you could tell us about that tune, why you chose to write a song about that topic.
Well, you know, I'm speaking from personal experience. You know, I went down on the road with codeine for a number of years. I was kind of a little bit too much in love with it, and so I know it well, and also I've been seeing in the news a lot of addiction problems going on with opioids, and I thought it would be a good time to express myself about it. In the song, I'm talking to the drug, and I'm sort of talking to it, you know, telling it, well, you know, you fooled me, you told me you were my friend, mm-hmm. and I believed you, and you came around and you made me feel good, but then you also made me need you too much, you know, and
right.
So it's very, very stark. I did it just me on a guitar, and there's a little bit of harmonica in the solo, and the solo is only, I think, 2 or 3 notes that build an intensity, like the song does.
Mm-hmm.
That song is for people who you know, might be thinking about going down that road.
Cody, I was a fool. You were only in it for the blues. Still I close my eyes. Looking for you, Cody. Thank you.
you know, I'm lucky that I have fairly strong willpower. So when I saw what it was doing, I was able to get away from it. But it left a mark on me, and it left an impression.
Well, the album ends with the instrumental called Riverside Drive, and I thought that was such an interesting choice to bring the album to a close. Why did you decide to go with that?
Well, you know, I had that little melody. I've been messing around with that melody for some months, and I liked it. And I didn't really know what it was signifying. I just liked it, and so on a whim in the studio, I said, you know, we were kind of done, and I said, hey, let's try this little instrumental here. It's real simple. It's just me and the drummer playing that. There's nothing else on it. So me and Andre laid it down like that. It's pretty stark. And then I listened to it after the fact, and I said, you know, there's a lot of movement in this music. It's music about there's kind of there's a bunch of movement, and so I thought about a river, I thought about a road, and then of course came the title Riverside Drive, because every town has a Riverside Drive. Not every town, but a lot of them do. I know there's one in New York City, there's one here in Austin, there's probably one in most towns that have a river going through it, you know. So,
right.
So it's kind of it's almost cowboyish or something, but it's deeper than that. It's got some traffic in it of some kind.
Right.
I picture nighttime Riverside Drive, headlights, brake lights, going around a curve by the water, maybe the reflection of the buildings across the river in the water. That's kind of what I see when I hear that one.
That tune, and it brings the album to a close in a really nice way. And it's kind
of... Oh, thank you, Will. I'm glad it does that. Yeah, I couldn't see putting it anywhere but at the end, just to kind of let you think about the album, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little introspective.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you got a show coming up here in Northern Nevada in January, and it looks like you're going to be touring the U.S. I was just wondering what else you got coming up in 2019.
Oh, I've got a big Midwest tour in latter March, April, and early May. And, of course, I'm going to be in California here coming up in Nevada. And the Nevada show is going to be at that charming, charming schoolhouse that my friend Evangeline Elson was nice enough to book us into. She's a very dear friend of mine.
Right.
And she really cares about music a lot. She's a huge music fan. She had her own radio program for many years, and she's just really just a high integrity person. And we played that little schoolhouse a couple of years ago, and all the town people came out, and people drove in from everywhere, and it's just a wonderful vibe in that place. And I'll be with Richie Lawrence on keyboards, and we're just going to have a real nice time with everybody over there.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely planning on going to that. It looks like a good time.
Oh, good. Good.
Cool. So where can people find you online if they want to know more about what you're up to?
Yeah, they check out RayBonneville.com, and everything should be there. The lyrics to the last album are there.
Okay.
The pictures and, you know, how to buy my records. I have 9 CDs out, and They're all going to be there on my site, and people can see my tours and where I'm going and where I've been. And yeah, RayBonneville.com, and my label is called Stonefly Records.
Okay. Do you hang out much on social media?
Yeah, yeah. I get on Twitter, and I get on Facebook, and if people want to contact me. I'd be happy to talk with them, and we're gonna be inviting people to the shows in that manner. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, mm-hmm. any last things you wanted to tell the listeners about?
Oh, I'm just real happy to be around, coming around to see all the different people. I'm real glad to be still playing and still writing and still recording and hanging out with my dear friends, and to talking with people like you who are interested in music. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and to put it out there, because us touring guys, we really need guys like you.
Yeah, well, I definitely appreciate you calling in. So
sure.
Yeah, well, man, I really dig the new record, and I wish you the best out there.
Thank you, Will. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it very, very much.